2 Kings chapter 13. Let's all stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Get right into the message. I have not got a title for this message yet. I want to call it, Let's Kill Some Moabites. But we'll work on the title. Not end up with that, but I'm afraid too many people would read the title and not have a clue what the message was about. 2 Kings 13, verse 20. 2 Kings 13, verse 20. This is a great, great little passage here. Two verses. And Elisha died. We just heard a song about that. Not afraid to die. I'll guarantee you Elisha wasn't. And Elisha died and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Isn't that a great passage? Here's a dead man. They're going to bury him. Here comes a band of Moabites. They said, man, we're going to have to throw this guy in his tomb right here. They put him in there. He touches Elisha and comes back to life. Quite a story. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for what we've already enjoyed this morning. And I thank you for the Word of God that is ever rich, ever challenging, ever alive. God, thank you for this book. Lord, speak to us this morning. God, help your people to go out and defeat the Moabites. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, you'll need to keep your Bible handy. You've got to keep your Bible handy. You ought to always keep your Bible handy. Always. It's one of those exciting and unusual stories in the Bible. Somebody said Elisha had more power dead than most preachers do alive. There's too much truth in that, huh? And while I could speculate on this miracle and talk about it, that's not what the message is about. The message actually comes from verse 20. And we'll use verse 21 before we get through. But in verse 20, notice it says, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. I want to use the principle of this passage this morning to preach a message of spiritual application about what's going to happen at the coming in of this new year. We're about to see a new year begin. I hope the Lord comes back first. I mean, I really do. I'd like to see the Lord come back in 2002, but if not, we're going to see 2003 here real soon. And at the coming in of the year, I want you to know the Moabites are going to invade the land. Now, most Bible students and Bible believers agree with what I'm about to say, and that is that in the Bible, Egypt is a type of the world. Babylon is a type of Satan. Moab is a type of what? Your flesh. According to the Bible, you have three formidable foes. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is Egypt. The devil is Babylon. And if you want to study something about your flesh, it's typified in Moab. Moab pictures your flesh. And you can see that in a lot of Scripture. You may think I'm going to abuse this text to say that your flesh is going to invade here at the beginning of the year, but I have a lot of Scripture to back me up. And the truth of the matter is, whether I use this text or a dozen other passages of Scripture, or even if I just use common sense or personal experience or personal observation, I can say with absolute 100% certainty, as the new year approaches at the coming in of the year, your flesh is going to invade and attack you. Your flesh is going to try to destroy you. Your flesh is going to try to defeat you. Your flesh is going to try to control you. I can say with or without this text, you're fixing to have to fight your flesh. Just like you did a few days ago and over the last few weeks. You've been having to deal with that flesh. But I'm telling you, Moab's a picture of the flesh. The first time you find Moab's over there in Genesis 19, it's where Lot gets drunk and has an incest relationship with his daughter and have a son from that incestual relationship. And guess what his name is? Moab. Moab. That's what they named him. You know what Moab is? Moab's the produce of the flesh. It's what the flesh can produce. That's what Moab is. It's a picture of your flesh. In Numbers chapter 22, you remember the story about Balak. And Balak's the king of what? Moab. And as the king of Moab, he goes up to Balaam and says, I want you to curse Israel. He tries to get him to curse Israel. And Moab's princes go to Balaam and promise to promote Balaam to very great honor. Now that's what your flesh will do if you'll obey it. It'll promote you to very great honor. Your flesh will promote you and pamper you and pacify you. And that's what your flesh wants. It wants to be promoted. It wants to be pampered. It wants to be pacified. God says it needs to be crucified. That's what the Bible says. Your flesh wants to control your life. The Bible says you need to crucify the flesh. That's just Bible truth. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Isn't that what he said? You know what the Bible says in Galatians 5:24? Listen to this. The Bible says, and they that are Christ's, are you Christ's? Amen. If you belong to Jesus Christ, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts.
Amen.
You're not to pamper your flesh. You're not to promote your flesh. You're not to pacify your flesh. You're to crucify your flesh. You're to get on a cross. It's interesting to me that Moses died. Moses was the meekest man that ever lived, according to the Bible. And yet, Moses made a very, very bad mistake one time. Moses lost his temper. And Moses did something that God had told him not to do, and God said, because of that, I'm not going to let you go into the promised land.
Amen.
Moses, you just let your flesh get the best of you. Moses, your flesh made that move. Your flesh called that shot. Your flesh made that decision. Moses, you ain't going into the promised land. And the Bible later says God buried Moses in Moab. Moab. I wonder why he buried him in Moab. Same reason a lot of you are going to bury yourself in Moab. Your flesh is going to bury you in Moab. Your flesh is a picture of Moab. And if you let the flesh dictate your life, you're going to die in Moab, living for the flesh. You know the story of Ruth and her family?
Yes.
Ruth and her family leave Bethlehem, Judah. That's the house of bread and the house of praise. That's where the Word of God is and the praise of God's at. And they leave that place to cater to their flesh. Where do they go? Moab. They go to Moab to satisfy their flesh. It led to sorrow and suffering and death. She lost her husband, lost her two sons. She came back from Moab, came back to Bethlehem, Judah. And you know what she said when she came back? She said, the Lord hath brought me home again empty. She said, I went out full, and He brought me home again empty. That's what Moab will do for you. It'll destroy you. She came home bitter. She said, call me not Naomi. She said, call me Mara, because I'm bitter. Listen, you live for the flesh, and you pacify the flesh, and you allow the flesh to control your life, and the flesh to dictate you. Please get a hold of this, especially you young people who think right now you're just going to live while you're young and enjoy it, and one of these days you'll get right and serve God. It doesn't happen that way. You let your flesh dictate your life, and it'll destroy your life. You let your flesh call the shots, and it'll make you bitter and empty and miserable one of these days. Moab pictures the flesh. In 1 Kings 11, it was a Moabitish woman who helped destroy Solomon and turn his heart toward other gods. Story after story in the Bible reveals the clear truth that your flesh will destroy you, cause you more sorrow and suffering than you can imagine. Young people want to do what you want to do. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to listen to what I want to listen to. I'm going to wear what I want to wear. I'm going to watch what I want to watch. And I'll be all right one of these days when I'm a little older. I'll grow up and serve God. It doesn't work that way. You cannot cater your flesh and pacify your flesh and not pay a price for it. Our text says that the Moabites will invade the land at the coming in of the year. And so I thought, what a great text to use for a sermon before the coming in of the year. To remind you that you're fixing to see an invasion of your flesh on your life. You know why I know that? Watch what happens Tuesday night at the coming end of the year. You watch them party and dance and get drunk and get high on drugs to celebrate the coming end of the year. They'll eat themselves to death. They'll drink themselves to death. They'll drug themselves to death. That's what the world does. They let their flesh throw a party. They'll get interested. They'll be listening to worldly music. They'll be parading the flesh. There'll be people killed Tuesday night. There'll be people in wrecks Tuesday night. There'll be people wake up Wednesday morning with a headache, won't show up for work. They'll be miserable. I'm telling you, the flesh will destroy you. And the Bible says that the Moabites are going to invade at the coming end of the year. And so I want you to understand, if we're going to face this formidable foe called the flesh, then we're going to have to be ready to fight it. So today I'm going to tell you how to defeat the Moabites. I mean, it seems like me, anybody would want to hear this. I mean, you're going to have to fight your flesh. I'm going to tell you how to beat it. You're going to get in a war with the Moabites, and I want to tell you how to kill the Moabites. How many of you, if you're going to have to fight the Moabites, how many of you want to win? I'm going to tell you how to win. How's that sound? That sounds like a good sermon to me. I believe I'd want to hear this sermon if I was in your shoes. Because fighting the Moabites is not an option. You're going to fight. You don't get to back out of this war. You can't be AWOL. You can't be absent without leave. You can't be a conscientious objector. You are going to fight this war. Now, some of you don't want to win it. Most of you raise your hand and said, I want to win this thing. Most of you don't. You enjoy letting your flesh win. Most of you standing at Ryan's cafeteria would have to say, you win. I'm just telling the truth. Okay, go through, get you something to eat, go through, get you a little dessert, and then go home. No, you can't do that. You want your flesh to win. I know how it is. You young people get around the wrong crowd, you don't want your flesh to lose, you want your flesh to win. You better be careful about that. I'm going to tell you how to kill them Moabites. I'm going to tell you how to defeat the flesh. I'm going to tell you how to get victory over the Moabites. And the Moabites represent your flesh. Now, the first thing you got to do, step number one, it's real simple. Number one, you got to recognize that it is your enemy. The world, the flesh, and the devil are your enemy, and until you get a hold of that truth, you are in serious trouble. Your flesh wants to destroy your life. And until you recognize that, and there are young people in this building right now that do not understand that every time they cater to the flesh, they're asking for trouble. There are some adults that haven't got that figured out yet. That is, your flesh is your enemy. You don't need to encourage your enemy. Hey, here I am. Kill me. Your enemy doesn't need that kind of help. You don't encourage the enemy. You do not give your enemy ammunition to shoot you with. Amen. I wasn't in Vietnam. I wasn't in Korea. I wasn't in World War I or World War II. I've never fought in a war. I've never been in the military. But I believe I've got enough sense to know it's dumb to give the enemy your ammunition. You don't pretend that your enemy is your ally. Young people think. They think that they can live for themselves and enjoy being young and get older and then live for God. Well, God gave me a verse for you. Jeremiah 13. You got to see this. Everybody's got to see this. Don't put your Bible down. The holidays are over. We're not worried about the time today. You say, I'm still celebrating. Well, you're in our house today. Jeremiah 13. Here's the problem with your attitude. If you think that you can go ahead and cater to your flesh and let your flesh dictate your life and do what you want and then one day decide to live for God. Verse 23. I'll ask you some questions. Are you there? Jeremiah 13, 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Yes or no? Nope. No, he can't. For that matter, can the Caucasian change his skin? No. That's not the way God asked it, but the answer is no. All right. Can the leopard change his spots? Nope. No, he can't. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Hey, I'll tell you something. When the Ethiopian can change his skin and when the leopard can change his spots, then you can do evil for 20 years and then start doing right. Look at the verse. The verse is saying, when the Ethiopian can change his skin and when the leopard can change his spots, then you can do good after. after you've been accustomed to doing evil all your life. The point is, it can't be done. You can't live for the devil and then just make your decision, boom, one of these days I'm going to do right. How many adults in this building could stand up and testify today, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, that when you live for the world and live for the flesh and live for the devil, that you can't just choose all of a sudden. God has to work this thing out, folks. The men and women in this building that live for the world and live for the flesh and live for the devil, the only reason they're still here today trying to do something right for God is God miraculously picked them up out of the gutter. He may not pick you up out of the gutter. You can't change the will of God on a whim. You can't say, well, God, I'm ready to serve you now. God said, I called and you refused. I called and you left. I called and you would not listen in Proverbs chapter 1. He said, then one of these days you're going to call and I will not answer. That's what he says. The Holy Spirit is not your little pawn on your chessboard that you can move around and manipulate and control. The Holy Spirit works on His terms, not on your terms. The same is true of a man who says, I'm going to live for the devil one of these days. I'll get saved. When God convicts you and wears you out and shows you your sin and your need for a Savior and the Holy Spirit deals with you, you better deal with the Holy Spirit right then. Next Sunday, He may not show up at your house. Young people, you cannot live for your flesh and let your flesh control your life and then just all of a sudden one day decide, okay, now it's time. It's not that simple. You get the picture? You see, we're creatures of habit. We're creatures of habit. And when you form bad habits, how many people over 25 right now will say bad habits are hard to break? Some of us are fighting habits that we didn't have enough sense to stop when we were your age, young people. I don't care if it's biting your fingernails or scratching your neck or curling your hair with your finger. I don't care if it's drinking or cussing or smoking. I don't care if it's going to the movies and listening to the music. I don't care what it is. You don't form those habits and then just turn them off like that. We're trying to tell you today, you better destroy some Moabites while you can.
Amen.
Before the Moabites take over your throne. One man said it this way, the way of sin is downhill. A man cannot stop whenever he chooses. We're creatures of habit, and habits like trees strengthen with age. They get stronger. Every act of sin, listen, every act of sin, every decision that caters to your flesh and your old nature lessens your fear and your remorse. It hardens your heart and it strengthens your enemy. Every flippant, casual, nonchalant decision that you make to sin in the flesh is going to lessen your fear of that sin. It's going to harden your heart. It's going to strengthen your enemy. Every time you say yes to your flesh, all you're doing is aiding and abetting your enemy. And the Moabites are going to take over. So number one, you must recognize your flesh is your enemy. Number two, you must refuse to surrender to your enemy. Let me give you a word that I believe is missing in the Christian vocabulary. Are you ready? Fight! 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 Quit giving in so easily to your flesh. Fight it! Stand against it! Isaiah said, we have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud. That's what Isaiah said. Moab is proud. Your flesh does not want to submit. Your flesh wants to reign. Your flesh wants to control. Your flesh wants to dictate. Your flesh wants to influence. Your flesh wants to be seen and heard and pampered and promoted and pacified. And you must not surrender to your flesh. Your flesh does not want to surrender and submit to you. Your flesh wants control. Jeremiah 48 is a chapter devoted totally to Moab. I want to read. Matter of fact, why don't you turn there? Since you were in Jeremiah 13, just turn to Jeremiah 48. And let me show you something that the Bible says here. In Jeremiah 48, about the flesh, about Moab. I've got a two-part sermon I preached years ago called A Blessing to Be Broken. A blessing to be broken. And this applies right here. In Jeremiah 48, like I said, the entire chapter is about Moab. The word Moab is in this thing like 34 times in this chapter. I've circled every time Moab's in this chapter. And in verse 11, it says Moab. Now remember, this is a picture of your flesh. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send unto him wanderers that shall cause him to wander, and they shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. You know what the Bible says in essence about Jesus Christ? He emptied himself. You know what the problem with your flesh is? It hasn't yet been emptied or broken. You keep feeding it and pampering it and promoting it and pacifying it, and your flesh needs to get on a tree called Calvary and be nailed to that tree. Your flesh needs to be broken and emptied for God's glory. It must be broken in order to be blessed. Speaking of Moab, here's what God said in Deuteronomy 23. He said, "Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity." You know what your problem is? You're trying to get along with Moab. You want to have peace with your flesh. I got news for you. If you live for God, your flesh is going to fight you until your last days. Your flesh is going to cry out for attention, cry out for control, cry out for glory. Your flesh wants to dictate your life. You cannot make peace with your flesh. But when you give into it, that's what you're doing. Don't make peace with your flesh. Don't pacify your flesh. Don't promote your flesh. Your flesh is your enemy. So number one, you must recognize that your flesh is your enemy. Number two, you must refuse to surrender to that enemy. Don't surrender to your flesh. Fight it! Fight it! Fight it! Some of you are not going to fight it. You're not fighting it right now. You're not going to fight your flesh tomorrow night. You're giving into your flesh right now. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! You shouldn't have fed your flesh so much the last few weeks. You'd have some life about you this morning. The reason you're so fat and tired and lazy and wore out is you've been giving into your flesh. That's why your flesh is controlling your life. Feed your soul. The reason you can't get excited about the songs of Zion is your soul is starving to death. We've been eating like pigs. We've been opening presents. We've been catering to the flesh. And our soul has missed its Bible. Our soul has missed the right music. Our soul has missed church. While our flesh has been celebrating. Go ahead and tell me I'm crazy. Go ahead and tell me that I'm going too far with this thing. I'm telling you, your flesh is your problem. My flesh is my problem. And if you can't even make your flesh surrender in here, you're sure not going to make it surrender tomorrow night.
Right.
Number one, recognize that your flesh is the enemy. Number two, refuse to surrender to that enemy. And then number three, resurrect the spirit of the old saints. Like Elisha. You want to get victory? You're going to have to do some resurrecting of them old saints like Elisha. What do we know about Elisha? Well, the first time you find him in Scripture, he's plying with 12 yoke of oxen. You need some of that. I need some of that. You talk about a guy with some energy. You talk about a guy with an attacking spirit. You talk about a guy with no quit in him. This guy is plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. You can't go 20 minutes with a Troy built. Amen. But this guy's got some fight in him. I'll tell you something else about him. Elijah said, "Stay here. Ain't going to do it." Elijah said, "Stay here. Ain't going to do it." Elijah said, "Stay here, Elisha. Ain't going to do it. I'm going wherever you go. You got God on you. And I want it. And I ain't leaving you until I get it. I want God. Whatever you got, I want a double portion of it." That guy had some want to. Amen. He had some get up and go, and he had some want to. And we need some of that want to. We need to want what Elijah had. I'll tell you something else. He saw with spiritual eyes in 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha saw with spiritual eyes. He didn't look through natural eyes. He's like that song Miss Alicia sung. Man, we almost welcome death if we're saved. The natural man can't welcome death. The natural man sees a coffin and a corpse. You know what the spiritual man sees? He sees a grand hallelujah party going on in heaven. He saw with spiritual eyes. Something else about old Elisha in 2 Kings 5. He practiced self-restraint. He knew how to say no to his flesh. Read about it. Just read about Elisha. Something else about him. He engaged the Word of God. He put the Word of God in action. Man, this guy was aggressive and active, and yet he was spiritual and selfless. Elisha was a special person. And we need some of what he had. So I'm going to close with two illustrations to help you see the way to defeat the Moabites. Judges 3, 2 Chronicles 20. These are the last two places I'll ask you to turn. I'm going to show you a simple way to defeat the Moabites. You've got to resurrect the spirit of the old saints. Man, we need what Elisha had. I'd sure like to have more power alive than some people do dead. And he had more power dead than some do alive. Whatever he had, I want some of it. Here in Judges 3 is a very familiar story that you know. I always use this in vacation Bible school with the children. In Judges chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 14, "So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. This is God's punishment on them. They catered to the flesh. He said, I'll put the flesh over you. So let Moab, king of Moab, Eglon, rule and reign over the children of Israel for 18 years. Let me tell you something. You want to let your flesh rule? God says, all right, I'll let you. And it's going to be rough on you. You're going to end up with cancer and AIDS. You're going to end up with hospitals and rest homes and Alzheimer's and all kinds of diseases. America, you want to cater to the flesh? Help yourself. Here's what you get when you cater to the flesh. That's what God's done in this country. So they're under Eglon, king of Moab. Verse 15, "But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised him up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab." Now you know all the story. He takes a two-edged sword there in verse 16, and he goes down to see old Eglon. This is Ehud taking a two-edged sword. Look at verse 20. "And Ehud came unto him," that's Eglon, he comes to Eglon, "and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he rose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out." Here's the king of Moab, Eglon. Big old fat fella. And God says, I'm going to deliver the children of Israel out from under Moab. I'm going to get them out from under the control of the flesh. So he sends Ehud down there with a message from God. A two-edged sword. And that's what will get the dirt out of your life. If you are going to get victory over the flesh, there is no possible way to do it apart from that book right there. You are not going to get victory over the flesh if you don't get a message from God in this book, not from this preacher. I'll preach the Word of God. I'll pray over the message. I'll prepare the message. I'll labor in the Word of God. By the grace of God, I'll try to preach the truth. But you're going to have to get up in the morning. I'm talking about tomorrow morning. And you're going to have to get a word from God on your own, or you are going to give in to your flesh. And when that two-edged sword gets in you, that dirt comes out. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto according to thy word." You want to clean yourself up? You want to get rid of your stinking flesh? You want to get victory over your flesh? You got to put that book inside of you every single day of your life. Got to get the book. Got to get the book. Got to get the book. 2 Chronicles. Oh, by the way, you still there? Look at Judges. I want to show you something real quick. First, they put the sword in. The dirt comes out. But look at verse 22. I've got to show you this. I'm sorry, that's not what I want. It is in 2 Chronicles. Go to 2 Chronicles. I'm sorry. Chapter 20. This is what I want to show you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is the last illustration, not here. You got to put the Word of God in if you're going to get victory over the flesh. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I said I was going to show you how to destroy the Moabites, to kill the Moabites. Look at verse 22. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and who else? Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now, how did that happen? Let's find out how it happened. Okay? Let's find out what led up to them defeating the Moabites. Let's start in verse 1. It's real simple. We'll go very quickly. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So here come those Moabites. Let's kill some Moabites. That's what we need to do. All right, let's see how we're going to do it. Look at verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Well, there's a good start. Don't tell me you won't victory over your flesh when you won't seek God in the morning. I'm just showing you how to get rid of them Moabites. I'm showing you how to get victory over the Moabites. I'm showing you how to get victory over your flesh. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Uh-oh. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You can't eat 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, and get victory over the flesh. Listen, folks. Listen to me. We started this church with prayer and fasting. There was a time when I could say, all right, how many people are willing to fast on Monday? And I'd get 7 or 8 hands. I'd say, how many people are willing to fast on Tuesday? And I'd get 7 or 8 new hands. And we could get 7 or 8 people fasting every day of a week for something big in this church. You cannot cater to your flesh 3 times a day, 7 days a week. You've got to eventually tell your flesh, you ain't going to control my life. You've got to deny your flesh every now and then. Fasting is a New Testament principle. And it's not just about food. It goes much farther than that. I won't go into that right now. I'm simply saying, number one, he feared. Number two, he fasted. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Judah and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Look at verse 13. They're seeking God. And all Judah stood before the Lord. Watch it. With their little ones, their wives, and their children. That's one reason I like for us to come together as a family, even in Sunday school. We need to be able to seek God as a family. Moms and dads, if you've got a prayer life that don't include your children ever, you're failing. If you don't have family devotions, you're failing. You're not going to get victory over your flesh when you seek the Lord and let your children seek the world. It ain't going to happen. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Uh-oh. We're going to kill them Moabites and we're not going to fight? Wait on. Wait a minute here. How are we going to do that? Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, verse 19, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Now, be careful. Look at verse 20. And they rose early in the morning. You want to kill some Moabites? Remember when I said fight? Fight! 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 Y'all remember those words? I'm going to give you another unbelievably simple principle as to how you can destroy your flesh, crucify your flesh, and kill the Moabites. Get out of bed! That sounded like Miss Gina's lesson. Get out of bed! You say, what are you talking about? Get out of bed and start praising the Lord before your flesh finds out what's going on. How many of you have ever gone to the refrigerator and your flesh was resisting it? How many have ever gone to the bathroom and your flesh was resisting it? I mean, inside you know you've got to do these things. You've got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go put a piece of wood in the stove and your flesh is still in that bed. Right? Your flesh is still saying, here's what you do. Here's what you do. You fool your flesh. You get out of bed, you open your Bible, you start reading, and you start bragging on God and telling Him how much you love Him and how good He is before your flesh wakes up. It works! I'm not kidding! You're laughing! I'm serious!
I'm saying get up early in the morning and start feeding your soul and feeding your spirit so it can destroy the flesh.
If you'll start your day by bragging on God and praising the Lord and praying and seeking God in His book, I'm telling you, you'll have an edge up on your flesh. Doesn't that just make common sense? That makes all the sense in the world. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, which were coming against Judah, and they were smitten. You know what I'd do if I was you? I'd put all this book I could in me, and I'd put all the praise I could out of me, and I'd brag on the Lord every day, early in the morning. Put the book in, put the praise out, and you'll get an edge on your flesh. Kill them Moabites. Simple principles. The coming of the year is upon us. The flesh wants to rule. The Moabites are coming. With the spirit of Elisha, what we need to do is aggressively and actively seek the Lord. Crucify the flesh and shout the victory in 2003. Amen?
Amen.
Kill some Moabites. Let's stand for prayer.